Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by Phil Perkins and Brandon Bishop. We are previewing the Future of Fighting Show, which will be Saturday, December 6th, 2025 at 4th Street Live. It will be cold outside, so they've got a different venue, very nice venue there at 4th Street for the event. Brandon, Phil, and I will all be in attendance, really looking forward to the event. I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please send some referrals the way of my sponsors.
Tim Gar here. The title sponsor of the show is Louisville Combat Academy, located at 7908 Beulah Church Road, Louisville, Kentucky, 40228. They have a great MMA program, offer 10-planet no-gi jiu-jitsu, female-friendly classes, and a great kids program. Check out Louisville Combat Academy. Kelly is there kickboxing every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and for MMA sparring on Sundays at 5 p.m. Both classes are led by BJ Ferguson, who in 2023, for obvious reasons, won the Everything contest for most handsome MMA fighter on the planet. Come out and join Kelly for a class. Veercast Digital Media at veercastdigitalmedia.com. Matt McCarthy runs Veercast and is also the producer for the Kelly Patrick Show. They do video production, aerial drone photography, web design, and podcast production. Contact them at info@veercast.com to start your own video show or podcast. Kelly's health insurance practice in Louisville, Kentucky. Kelly is an independent broker and he loves referrals for anyone in the United States who needs help with Medicare supplements, Advantage plans, and Part D drug plans. Kelly can also always help with life insurance, long-term care insurance, and group health insurance. Contact Kelly anytime via call or text 502-386-0978.
Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode, I am joined by returning guests. We have head coach Phil Perkins of Area 502 MMA. Phil, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks.
And, of course, we have Brandon Bishop. Brandon does the commentary for Future Fighting MMA. You have many titles, actually.
A few, yeah.
Kickboxing ref?
Yeah.
MMA ref?
No, I haven't officially done MMA yet.
Okay.
But
Armored combat?
Yeah, announcer, armored combat fighter, retired MMA.
Father, husband?
Yeah.
Many hats.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're wearing matching outfits. I just noticed that.
Hey,
we're all wearing black pants too.
There you go.
Yeah.
We were just talking about in the future, Brandon and I. For years, we worked on the Weekend Sports Buzz, and Brandon would be running the boards in the back, and maybe doing some bringing that back a little bit for some preview episodes for local MMA shows.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can up the game a little bit here. And I think we definitely should keep a few little secrets.
For the time being, the card we're looking forward to is, of course, Saturday, December 6th, 2025 at 4th Street Live. Is it going to be cold there?
So this is an indoor. It's like a pop-up venue. So there is a building at the end of 4th Street Live. It's been vacant for 15 years. It's an old Office Max building. And 4th Street Live owns it. So they were like, hey, we got this building if you want to use it, so we're gonna give it a try. It's the first event that they're gonna throw there, and then they're gonna, I guess, maybe open it up and do a few other events there if anyone wants to rent it. But we're the first one to do an event there, so that's why we went with like a Fight Club theme, and all the flyers look like the Fight Club poster that way, because this is gonna be like this random building downtown. Then you go inside, cage will be set up, and you know how we do it, full production. It'll be nice.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. So I like to do the themes when I can. It makes it kind of fun and different. And, yeah, it'd be great if you guys could do those kind of shows. I feel like MMA's got good momentum right now, and, you know, shows are growing, and, you know, LFA coming, bigger shows coming. Mm. And with the UFC came a couple years back and blew up the Yum Center, I feel like we got the ball rolling again. We got some momentum, so anything. We need it. We need it for sure. Keep it going.
Yeah, man, for sure. And, I mean, Future Fighting's already one of the coolest productions that's been around town in a long time. I mean, especially locally, I mean, who else tops Future Fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when we're in Louisville, we're the only – only homegrown Louisville MMA show. We're the only MMA show in Louisville besides LFA that comes in. So, and it'd be hard for somebody to come in and match us for sure. But I guess for the good and bad thing is my guys fight on the card, and I've been so involved in MMA. I know what a show's supposed to look like, and I want it to have a certain standard. That's the whole reason I started it. So, yeah, I want it to be a nice production and be a level above the rest, and that to kind of set us apart. So, but it's a lot. I got in when I started. I knew it was going to be a lot, but it's turned into another full-time job.
For sure.
It never stops. It's like anything else. Like you're saying with the podcast, you got to stay ahead. You know, you can't get too comfortable too long. So,
yeah, I'm just now becoming familiar with that on the production side of things with Metal Armored Fighting. It's my third event that I've ran. And it's a lot of stress, man. You know, yeah. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders for a long time, and it all kind of comes to a head at that one moment, you know, and it can become overwhelming if you're not used to stressful moments, you know.
Thank goodness you went through that stress, because it looks like maybe we're going to take the equipment you went through that process with, and we're going to use it. Won't be as stressful to use it for the podcast.
Yeah.
I appreciate you toughing it through that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. I mean, there are benefits to it, right? I mean, the stress all becomes worth it in the end. So
you got to put together a good production, and then you got to put together good fights. And then, you know, then you got to make money. You got to sell enough tickets to make enough money to do it again. So, because it's a lot. It's a lot of work and a lot of people involved. And for us, like, we have a small media team that does the Instagram and takes care of all that. We have a production team for the event that does all the lighting and all that stuff. So we have it adds up fast. I remember I did a boxing show. And to do the boxing show, it cost X amount. I forgot what it was, maybe like $8,000 or something, $10,000. And then I was like, let's do this MMA show. And then when I found out how much to do an MMA show, I was amazed. It's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot that goes into it.
So it costs more. It
costs a lot more, yeah. It's a lot more.
Why?
Just everything. You know, you pay the pros. You got insurance on every fight, insurance on the event. I mean, you'll spend a couple $1,000s just in hotel rooms for the fighters coming in town. Mm. You don't think about that, but you got 15 fights is 30 fighters, and then about half of them are normally roughly. So that's 15 guys that need rooms for two nights each, 30 nights. You know, $100 a night is $3,000 plus tax, and hotel's got a 13% fee on the end of it. By the time you're done, it's $5,000 just for the hotel rooms, you know.
What's the etiquette as a promoter? Do you always pay for the hotel for the pro fighters or for everyone?
We pay for everybody that travels over X amount. And if not, we pay their gas money and try to take good care of them the best we can. Because, again, I've been on the other side. And I know a lot of fighters can try to take advantage of the situation. So we understand that. But at the same time, they put in the hard work. We want them to stay somewhere comfortable and feel like it's a whole experience with a good way in. They're staying in a nice hotel, and the whole event, the whole experience is something. Jimmy Sandlin had some real nice comments for us. He was like, man, I fought all over.
That was cool.
40 something fights. And he said, this is the best production I've been to. So
I got to talk to him right before he walked out and got that big win. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I commentated some of Jimmy Sandlin's early fights, early fights.
Yeah. He's a real nice guy. Always positive attitude when he comes out and always puts on a show.
I love his style, man. He's got the hands, but of course the college wrestler.
Yeah. But he likes to throw. I was excited to watch him and Chance. Unfortunately, that fight.
What happened with that?
Fell through. Just something on the back end there. I'm not really too sure either.
We should make something up.
Yeah,
for sure.
What do you think?
I don't know. I was.
It's good to stir up drama and attend a promotion.
Yeah, I was going to.
You think fell?
That's your thing.
I was going to hedge my bets on injury, but I haven't heard of any injuries coming out yet, so. I don't know, man.
We'll see if we can come up with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said looking at possibly
another opponent for
next year. But, yeah, they looked at another opponent for Jimmy Sandlin. It just didn't work out. He was trying to lock in Jeremy Henry, bad combination.
Oh, yeah, bad combo. He was a Kelly Patrick show vet.
Yep. You know, he's Captain Save the Show, you know. He's always come in last minute, and then he shuts it down a lot of times.
He's got a real exciting style.
Beat the hometown guy. Yeah, he's fun to watch. We're trying to knock on the door for bare knuckle for him, maybe get him in BKFC or Karate Combat, because he's got a – his style for that is just perfect. He would really excel in that. But, yeah, so unfortunately that fight fell through, but would have been exciting to see that fight. But luckily, we got a couple other big pro fights on the card. We got still four other pro fights and three amateur title fights, I think 15 or 16 total fights. So card's a little bit bigger. Last ones were, I think, 12 or 13 fights, but this one's back up to 15 or 16. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at the card that you sent us now, and there are several familiar names from previous cards on here, you know, guys that we have seen fight now several times at Future of Fighting. What an awesome card. I mean, we've got Innocent Nian Yushu versus Usmani Pardo.
Yeah, that fight, there's a really awesome local fight.
For sure.
Innocent, good jiu-jitsu guy, and had a win for Future of Fighting versus Darren Harden.
Yep.
Which was a really exciting fight, too. Darren was all over him with some cool jiu-jitsu in that fight. And Anisette ended up tapping him out at the very end of the fight. Yeah. So that was a great fight.
Anisette had a slick triangle for a fight I got to commentate for him.
Yeah, he's one of those, exactly what you said, I would call him a slick fighter. You know what I mean? Like, he hits you with things that you don't see coming. So exciting fight there. And Pardo is just, he's all gas, no brakes. So I'm excited to see that fight just right off the top.
Yeah, Usmani, he's it's really everything's starting to come together. He's been around a couple years, but really the last
Cuban.
Year. Cuban guy, yeah, really the last year. He's really taken it much, much more serious and really started to put in the time due to work and stuff. He had to take a couple months where he wasn't in as much, but now he's back. Yeah, foot on the gas, always in the fight and in training. And he's well prepared for this fight. And as said, as a jiu-jitsu guy, more experienced jiu-jitsu guy, but I feel Usmani will be able to counter that, use some wrestling, use his striking, and will be able to win that fight. You know, he's not as high level of a jiu-jitsu guy, but he trains with a lot of very high level jiu-jitsu guys. You know, I train with him personally myself. He's close to my weight, so he's a handful. So, but a really exciting fight that could go either way, and those are the kind of fights we need.
Phil, how much do you weigh?
Like 145, maybe. Okay, 150, smart. Yeah.
How much do you weigh?
Probably like 172.
That was a pretty good like.
Well, I weighed myself this morning at the gym, actually.
Oh, okay. Yep. How accurate do you think that scale is? Is it a triple beam or a digital?
I was nude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wet?
how much do you weigh, Brennan?
I don't want to say. I'm a little heavy right now. I'm putting on my winter coat. It's cold outside. I got to prepare.
You wore all black for the slimming effect?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I sent the facsimile over to Phil on the way over, and I was like, we should definitely match all black.
That was a different group message.
Yeah.
Up next, we have Jordan Gast against, who is it, Q? Or I'm sorry, am I going the wrong order?
You are, but you can talk about that fight.
I love Jordan Gast.
Yeah, man. So, Jordan, I've just started, you know, Jordan had come down to the show, brought some guys, done grappling for us.
Gas Tank MMA.
You mean this last show, the one I was at? I was standing next to him at the card.
Before, he grappled Matt Harrison at one. I've seen him fight at Hard Rock at HRMMA. And super nice kid, and always real cordial. And then he reached out about coming down to train with me. Come down one day, and then he's been coming down and doing one-on-ones with me, training with the team. And he wasn't going to fight until next year. And he said, "Hey, coach, what do you think about me fighting on Future Fighting?" And I was like, "Sure, you know, if you want to get on, reach out to Hard Rock." And they found him a good fight, actually, for a title fight. He's the HRMMA 135 champ. So
he won that via heel hook.
Yeah, won that with the heel hook. So they're going to give him a shot, or we're going to give him a shot at the Future of Fighting 135 amateur belt. And it'll be cool. It's my first time coaching him and cornering him and working with Jordan. And I think he'll be more prepared than ever. He's had a heck of, you know, training with the team. And we got a lot of bodies his size. We have a lot of people from 155 and under, so lots of work for him, all levels. He's looking sharp. Striking's coming along, which is what he's mainly been coming to work with me on. And we've been able to tighten up his grappling, and he's looking sharp too. So really excited for Jordan.
Who's this Q guy from Tennessee?
I want to say Nashville MMA. Yeah, okay. He's got a good record, good striker, well rounded.
Nashville MMA is certainly a legit gym.
Tough fight for Jordan, but very confident in his skills and his style for the style matchup of that fight.
Okay. What fight is next?
Let's see.
We skipped over Jared Jenkins versus Sean Downey.
Yeah, I'm not too.
Those are big guys, big boys.
Jared Jenkins and Sean Downey.
Yes, heavyweight fight. And I don't know.
Do you want to talk some shit about him, Brendan?
I mean, I don't know either of these guys, but I can. I could try.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we know about them?
Google them.
Both debuts? Are they?
I don't know.
I'm pulling it up. I apologize. I don't know. I know I should know.
It looks like they're both debut guys.
The matches, right. So I don't know all the newer guys.
That's all right.
That was one thing I had to explain to the guys in the fighters meeting. I was like, you know, hey, I'm the promoter here, but I'm not the matchmaker, so I don't know everybody.
Yeah.
You know, forgive me if I don't know your face or your name because we've never met.
Yeah, and let's be real. A lot of this is people fight, you know what I mean? People fighting that haven't necessarily fought a lot, or they're this is two guys making their debuts, which is cool as hell.
Yeah.
One of these guys might have been an all-state wrestler. I think I found Jared Jenkins on Facebook. I had him as a friend. I may be wrong.
Okay.
Looks like he's also a tattoo artist.
Are you on Tapology?
Nope, I'm trying to stalk. It may be a random wrong Jared Jenkins Facebook account.
Yeah, is that? But are you getting the fight order from Tapology?
I think that's where you got it from, Brendan. Yeah.
That's where I had it from. CombatReg.com.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm on CombatReg.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the first one for me at the very very bottom shows Parker Pham versus Cameron Kane. Which I actually have not even heard about that fight yet. So. We'll see if that one comes through.
Surprise.
Yeah. We'll see if that one comes through.
Is Parker Pham the guy from Pender's Gym?
Yeah.
That's right.
And Cameron Kane fought Ali. Hopefully that fight is on, but let's talk about the ones that I know.
I think Pham put on a real exciting fight the last time he fought for Future of Fighting. I was there.
Yeah.
The Asian guy was throwing some nice boxing.
And he fought this guy, Jordan Lyons, who is also on the card versus Robert Daly. We got Jabron Litzy, who trains up at Full Moon. He trains with us a little bit now and then, versus Roman Belcher. I think that's a classic striker versus wrestler match. We got one guy wrestled in college. The other guy's got a couple boxing and kickboxing matches. So those are two guys that might be their debut, but should be a really cool fight to watch right there. Of course, we talked about Usmani and Anicet. I think that's one of the kind of sleeper fights to keep an eye on.
I have a little information about Jabron Litzy. Says he never fought before this, but he wrestled in high school and at the junior college level. He left college and began training jiu-jitsu in 2023. He's 22. He'll be 23 in December. He lives in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Super nice kid. He trains with Marcus Hudson, my black belt, up at Full Moon. And super nice kid, so will be his first fight. And fighting, I want to say, from up in Ohio, maybe Team Vision, I'm sorry. But I do know the guy's a boxer, kickboxer, very clash of styles there on that fight. So those are, you know, getting up towards the end of the amateur fights there. The Jordan Gass fight we talked about. That's a title fight. The next title fight's the current champ, Donovan Smith, versus Zachary Zimmerman.
Oh, shit. That's a big one.
That's a great fight. Zimmerman's got a win, had a good win with us. Donovan's been on fire with us. He had his last fight he lost for HRMMA. But for us, he's, I want to say, 5-0 with some good wins, too, over some solid opponents. So this is going to be a good test for Donovan. Both these guys are hungry, and they both sent some videos, some promo videos. They're not like talking trash, but they're both really hyped and excited about the opportunity to fight each other.
That's
you know what I mean?
The ideal way to do it.
You know what I mean? They're like – They're both actually like, Jesus is the man. We love God.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I'm going to take you out. Something like, you know, like it was very super corny. It was the nicest, but like you can tell they're like hyped to throw down. That fight's going to be a very skilled amateur fight for the 155.
It's amateur MMA, right? You know that you might lose, right? I mean, what is amateur MMA, Phil? What is amateur MMA to you?
Practice. It's practice for professional MMA. But again, the thing with MMA, I've said this a million times, MMA is the only sport that you go pro after 5 or 10 tries. Like, think about a professional baseball player. How many times did they play baseball by the time they go pro?
Thousands.
Thousands, right? What about basketball?
Thousands.
Football.
Competed in.
Right.
Yeah, competed. Hundreds, maybe.
Games,
yeah,
right?
Hundreds.
Lots of games. High level games. Combat sports. Boxing.
Right.
You know, pretty much any combat sport. It's the same way, but with MMA, these guys will be 3-2, and then they turn pro. So, for me, I think it's practice. That's why we try to get at least 10 fights, roughly 10 fights in with the guys, as long as their age lines up. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but I'm really just get the ring time and see what problems they're running into and what issues they have. So, hopefully we can fix that before they want to go professional, and then it really counts. But that's why we like fights like that. We need those up-and-coming guys. They're going to fight each other, get some really good work, and then they can go to cheer each other on in the future as they both turn pro and go somewhere. You know.
Looks like you got a third title fight on here, Felix Gonzalez versus Taylor Orr.
Yeah, so that's another exciting fight. Taylor Orr is 2-2 in MMA, but he's 4-2 in kickboxing. He just won at the kickboxing show at Huber's.
Only kickboxing.
Yep, he just won a fight there. Yeah, where you were reffing. He was there. Yeah. Taylor Orr. So you probably reffed his fight.
I did.
He won a fight up there. I think between kickboxing and MMA, he's on a 4-fight win streak. Felix is on a 4-fight win streak. Taylor does more kickboxing. Felix does more kickboxing. So it's got fireworks written all over it.
For sure.
If you watch Felix fight, you know something exciting is probably going to happen.
Crazy legs, man. He's flying. He reminds me of the Tasmanian Devil. It's just like a cartoonish cloud with arms and legs swinging out of it.
I would recommend that Taylor Orr does not shoot on him.
That's the thing. Well, I don't think either of these guys are going
to
shoot.
Okay,
so what I'm saying is I would be scared shitless of getting kneed right in the face from Felix.
It's a good possibility.
Yeah.
Without saying too much, we got a pretty specific game plan of, we'll take whatever, but a pretty specific game plan of what knockout we're looking for in this one. Felix is a little bit older. He's 31 or 32, so it's already getting hard to find him fights. We were looking everywhere. Where's the toughest 170? And we couldn't get anybody to reply, and it was just already getting hard. So we might let him go pro a little bit earlier just so we can get him the fights. And
sure.
There's a window there between 31 and 35 that's really a sweet spot, sometimes 33. But he's very still athletic, moving fast, takes good care of himself. So I think he'll be able to make a good run. But
I think Cubans – sorry to interrupt, but I think Cubans have a track record. I forget the damn heavyweight Cuban boxer's name. One of the best boxers in the world. Stuck around for, like, until he was, like, legit 44.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Masvidal. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's Romero also.
Every Cuban's favorite fighter.
Yes, that's what you said.
Yeah. We all love Yoel Romero. So – yeah, but
they have a track record of possibly getting it going, and then longevity.
Yeah,
it's very racist of you, Kelly, to say that about a group of people.
I'm fine with that. And thank you.
So hopefully he follows the trend, and he's got plenty of years behind him. But he, just being 31, we might let him just give it a shot earlier. And he's a handful. He's a handful. We were trying hard to get him fights. We were trying to get him to fight Todd Pickett from your gym.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would have been a great fight. I still do. Stylistically, it'd be a tough fight. But that's the work we need. Like, they're very opposite styles. Todd is a very good grappler but can also strike. Felix is a very good striker, can also grapple. those guys need to fight. And especially at this level, they can fight, get it out of the way, then they can support each other, maybe even train with each other down the road and help someone from this area get to the next level. So those are the kind of fights we need local, even starting with Anisette and Usmani, you know, local fights with guys that we can get some hype behind these fights. We can promote these fights. People want to watch them and care about what's going to happen. And
right.
Even though Usmani's fighting Anisette, he's going to gain all of Usmani's fans as fans after that fight. And that's how the sport grows and how people grow their fan base too.
Yeah, for sure. I saw it happen several times in my career.
Yeah, you go fight a nobody, there's no gain. There's literally no gain. But if you fight somebody that it matters and that fight matters, even if God forbid you lose, everybody's a great job. People are following you. You learn so much from the fight, and it's just a whole different thing. So we need the good competition. But yeah, that would have been a great fight. Still would be a great fight. I hope at some point we can make that fight happen. But
yeah, me too.
I have a matchup I hope is still happening because you guys haven't mentioned it yet. But is Anthony McCormick against Elijah Woodruff?
Yeah, that's another great fight right there.
Tell me about that. Who's the favorite in that fight? Oh, that's a pro. That's a, yeah,
pro
okay.
fight. Yeah, yes. I'm not sure. You know, I know McCormick trains with Bell, so he does more stand-up. I'm sure he trains jiu-jitsu as well, but he does more kickboxing fights. He fought at LFA on the amateur card. I remember seeing parts of that fight. And tough kid, you know, talented kid and rounded. And same with Woodruff. And he's fought a lot of good people. Woodruff has
a just murderer's row of an amateur career.
A really record. Good amateur career.
Liam Hamill, Ethan Riley. I mean, it goes on and on. Todd Pickett, Travis Hudson, Keystone McClain. I was really impressed with that matchup when he did that. And Woodruff has really good MMA wrestling.
Yeah, so it's going to be a tough test for both guys. For McCormick, obviously, a step up in competition, someone that's fought
higher
level in competition. But he's coming to bang, and he's got a lot of wins behind him, and he's got some momentum going, and he's fighting at home.
He just come off a really good win in Oni Fights.
Yeah, he's been through some wars and come out on the other end of them winning. So,
shout out to Damon Bell and BJ Ferguson. They seem to have a pretty good momentum with some fighters there.
Yeah, we need it. The more the merrier. High tide raises all ships. You know, we need more fighters, more gyms. There's so many people out in this city that need training. It's great.
I like that attitude, man. You get some guys out there that think it's a competition, like there's only so many students to go around or something, you know, and they get protective. They don't want to let guys cross-train, you know. But I think it's good for everybody when you see a healthy culture, when you see other gyms doing well. That's a good sign for everybody in the area.
I get it. I mean, if I said that I was never a little bit more –
it's a business.
Yeah. And also when you're coming up and you only have 40 members and say you were to lose two members, it's a lot bigger deal than if you have a couple hundred. So,
yeah. But I'm just more of the mentality of to see others succeed is also our success. You know what I mean? It's good for everybody. Like you said, the high tide rises all ships. So, you know, the more talented we get, the guys we have coming from other gyms, the better our fights are going to be, the more people are going to want to attend more eyes we get from different regions and areas.
And really, we're all the same people. We're just at different gyms. Like, it's all the same people that are just training at different spots. Yep. So I get we're on different teams, but everyone still likes the same thing. You know what I mean? I think we forget that sometimes.
We got AD Cook still on there with Peyton Hayes, man. That looks like a good flyweight fight, man.
Yep. Torreon always brings a good fight, always brings a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
His last fight with us, he actually lost that fight, so he's coming to look to turn that around. So that's another good fight on the that's on the pro side of the card. That's the second pro fight.
Nicest guy in the world. I love AD. He's a very, very nice guy.
Yep.
Hard worker, athlete, played college football. Or I'm sorry, high school football. Yeah, I said college, but you can tell he's just athletic.
Now, I don't know Peyton at all, but I'm just looking up his Facebook page here and trying to stalk him. I'm
handsome guy?
Taking a page. Handsome guy? Kelly's
Patrick's is he handsome?
Objectively, yes.
Yes, okay. Yes.
It's like he lost his first pro fight in June. So he's coming back 6 months later looking to fight a Torreon. And that's Peyton Hayes.
So. Bet he didn't expect to hear Brandon Bishop call him handsome on the episode. That's pretty cool.
Yep. So they'll actually fight before Elijah and McCormick.
Okay.
And then the main event will be Blake Alvey versus Cody Stewart. So that's
Cody Stewart.
Yeah, Cody Stewart just fought for Hard Rock. He fought a short, stocky, beast-looking guy named Alex, I think. I can't remember his last name. But Cody Stewart, yeah, just fought for Hard Rock. 0-1 pro. Coming up from Tennessee. Tough guy. Rounded. He lost, but he was in there slinging with the last guy at Hard Rock, and he's fighting Blake Alvey.
I do remember him.
Remember that fight?
Yep. He was throwing.
Yep, and the other dude was a tank. The other dude was a little.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Ogas.
The crowd isn't disappointed with that type of fight.
No, they were in there to fight, and the guy was getting beat on, and he was coming forward, throwing him back, and it was a good fight, exciting fight. So it's a great fight. For Blake's first professional fight, it'll be a good test for him. Somebody that's tough and somebody that's already fought professional, but Blake's obviously more than ready. His goals are set on the UFC, and I think he's got a really good plan in place, and I think he's making all the right steps to get there, and I think this guy will be the first step in that direction.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, if there's an organization that's going to be highlighting the talent, it's Future Fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I know the fighters don't mind fighting at 4th Street.
Yeah. That's the sickest venue. And we try to get them good media, pictures.
And being that it's within Louisville, you do get the, Dwight Whitten and David Yates. You get kind of like a
Mark Wine.
Who's who of Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really thankful. I've got a lot of support. It's a lot of hard work, too.
Celebrity sighting type thing.
Yeah, I'm beating the streets, though. You know, I mean, I'm going on the Tony and Dwight show before every event. I'm out handing out flyers when I go to restaurants. Like, I'm beating the streets with it and trying hard to make this happen for everybody. If someone else would have done this before me, I would have been just as happy, and I wouldn't have done it. But we needed this. Louisville needed this big show. I wish everybody would support it. We got a good amount of support. We got, but just from a few of the groups, the fighters and coaches, we're still breaking down a few barriers little by little. But hopefully, long term, everybody decides to jump on board and realizes that, hey, we're here to help them, help their fighters get to the next level, get eyes on them, like you said, put a pathway to LFA, to UFC, put a pathway to the Contender Series, and just try to build these guys up the right way, because there's a lot more to it. If you're really trying to get a guy to the UFC, there's so much more to it than just like them going and winning fights up it. They could be 15-0, and if they're not doing the right things with the right eyes on them, they're not going to get the call. So we're trying to get the right eyes on them, the right people in the city, seeing these guys fight, seeing them win. And, I think we're on the right path.
This will be the – how many events have there been?
This is number nine.
Wow.
So we're starting to figure it out. We're learning every event, but now it's much smoother. Like at first, I had to do a lot in the beginning to make sure things were right, but now I don't have to do as much, and I can really shut off. As soon, like 30 minutes before the event, I just stop. I don't answer any more questions, and I just coach. So I've been able to do that a lot more comfortable now, where I don't have to worry about it. Everyone knows their place. I have an awesome team for everything. People know their job. They don't really need me for much anymore. So
difficult to that's all Hard Rock's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right? right?
What's that?
Is there a better matchmaker on the regional scene that you can think of?
No, there's definitely not.
Or is there? It's kind of, we were joking about the Kelly Patrick show before we went on air, like number one MMA show in Kentucky.
Yep.
But Hard Rock kind of is like on a bigger scale, much bigger scale than the Kelly Patrick show. He's kind of like the one of a kind almost, I would say.
Yeah. You know why, though, is I just think that you with him, you get what you get. He's always himself, and he always has been, and he always will be. And he's, transparent about things, and that's all you can ask for. His job is to make good fights. That's his job, to make good fights and to try to put fair fights, and that's what you can expect from a promoter. And with him, he does it, man. Like, it'll amaze me sometimes. He'll be filling up his card, and I'm like, shit, what am I going to do, you know?
Yeah, but he always comes through. Yeah,
man, he's taking all the good fights, and then I'll be like, hey, man, can I get a fight? And then boom, boom, boom. I'll be like, oh, okay, those are sick, you know? And then
yet to be – where he just really left you high and dry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't truthfully, but you know, I'm just, you get those feelings when you see, you know what I'm saying? Just being honest, but he always comes through.
The good news is there's a lot of young fighters out there who are wanting to work their ass off and fight.
And if you give them a good opportunity, you know, I think a lot of them are seeing like, hey, we enjoy fighting for you. And it's the whole process with us, the weigh-ins. When you go to the weigh-ins, there's, you know, stations you stop at. You got to get your pictures taken. You got to stand in front of a green screen. You got to talk to them about your paperwork. You got to talk to the announcers, give them your information. And, you know, that's more what it's like at the LFA. That's what it's like at the UFC. Of course, the UFC, it's a full week-long process. At LFA, it's a one-day process. And with us, it's a three-hour process. But you're getting, like, closer and closer to a feel of the real show, real weigh-ins. Everything's much more like, I don't know, animated is not the word, but it's more realistic, you know. Sure. It's more hype to it, and I think the fighters appreciate that.
There's a big screen and all that.
Big screen, 4th Street's great about that. I do have a 100-inch screen that we're going to put by the walkout. We got two of those, so sorry it's not a Jumbotron, but I'm doing the best.
Oh, so the other venue for December 6th.
Yeah, for the December 6th venue. But, you know, we've tried everything. We had double screens and fireworks at one. We do smoke at 4th Street. We tried a little
DJ Hummingbird.
Tearing it up at every event. He'll be there, of course. He's has a new baby. That just come.
Oh, shit.
Yep. And
is he going to continue to do the shows?
Yeah, he's doing.
Sometimes
that.
Someone has a baby and they let that baby just take control.
Yeah, it's taking control of his jiu-jitsu life. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
see, yeah. See,
but
I knew it.
We've been starting to see him surface more now. Baby's getting a little bit older. He's been popping in more and training more, and we'll see him at the event. But yeah, he's been babying it up. So
good stuff.
DJ Hummingbird tearing it up. Always good food, good drinks. Like always, we try to make sure everybody's eating right, drinking right. Your VIP tables get drink service. It's normally PBR girls. I don't know if it will be this time or not, but you get drink service at the tables and try to make it a good experience for everybody, trying the best we can. So we're on show 9 and we're doing good. If I can keep growing, then I'll keep doing it. I said I would go 2 years and evaluate, and I'm doing good enough to keep going, so we'll go another 2 years and we'll reevaluate then and see what direction to go with it. But right now, 2026, though, we got some big things that we're working on, and I wish I could share, but I promise when time comes, I'll come on and share it to the thousands and millions of people listening at home.
At least 100,000 for each episode.
So I'll
least numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I'll drop it to the biggest podcast and biggest
thank
MMA
you.
Podcast
thank
in the region,
and within Jefferson County.
So I'll drop the big news here when we
thank
get
you.
It.
Thank you.
We got some stuff we're working on, future fighting, and then some other ideas too. So yeah, but I think it's only up. Our goal is to make some good fights, though. I really hope that we can make some fights, more fights like Usmani and Anicet. I hope we can
make a good one.
Fights like Felix and Todd. I hope that those are fights that, you know, the city, we can start making and getting the city behind them, and you know, not creating a rivalry, but it's competition, you know, and it's like you support the other teams. Unless you're fighting them, and then when you fight them, you fight them. But otherwise, we root you guys on.
Sure.
So,
I'm excited about filling in for helping with commentary.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up, but I didn't know how to segue into it. But, yeah, so I've been at Future of Fighting for several events now, and this will be the first time that you've been able to join me at Future of Fighting. So this is our first commentary gig together,
yeah,
which I've been excited about for a long time because I feel like it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I'd say so, and, yeah.
Oh, y'all never worked together?
We've never done commentary together. Random. Nope.
We did the radio show for 2 years. We've done who knows how many podcasts together, but we've never worked together on an MMA show. Wow. So this will be the first time.
Yeah. Cool, man. Really cool.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Dan to come on here. He was super busy, but
yeah.
I know people are starting to see his face around and stuff, but he's got a real cool story, and you know, he's trained with all of us for years and years.
What Brandon was saying,
like, one of my original training partners. Me and him would train, there's other people, but we were like main training partners, me and his 6'6", 6'7" guy, you know, for a good amount of time, and we took a bunch of fights in Indiana, and he was I want to say 7-1 amateur, maybe 1-1 pro.
Yeah.
Purple belt.
Yeah.
And mean, big knockouts, big knees, and big punches. Because he was
what
so
weight
tall.
Class? I wonder.
170.
Oh shit!
And
okay.
He would walk
super
out,
tall.
He would,
170.
He would always walk out tonight at the Roxbury, and he would be. He would, even back then, he was a performer. You know, he was performing, and that was the irony. I didn't see him for years, and when I found out he was a singer for the
Juice Box Heroes.
For Juice Box Heroes, it like weirdly made sense, you know, because he's always kind of been a performer, been in front of people. But that guy's watched every UFC fight ever. When I say ever, I mean anyone from the prelims, any fight that you can watch, every fight. He's a true fan. I think he's even watched like WEC fights and other fights that, you know, people like us know, but the guy's
he's got Fight Pass and actually uses it.
Super, super. Not like no one gets how knowledgeable of a guy that is to have in the corner.
Sure.
He's been training that long, that much of a, and just loves MMA and is just like excited to commentate.
Sure.
And lucky to have him, lucky to have all you guys, you know, all your experience with MMA, all around the fight game in general, all your experience commentating. So we appreciate you filling in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I needed somebody that knew the game, and because Dan's an important part to the team, so we're glad to have you fill in and come in and kick some ass, and hopefully you have fun and enjoy yourself at the event.
I mean, you're no Dan, but you'll work. You'll fill in for
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I had a great time at the last event.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you come out. We're trying to make it. Tony Schultz, my brother, told me the other day, he said, man, it's like I'm at the club, and then I remember there's a fight there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the feel I want. I want it to be fun. We are having fun, and there's fights. And I don't want it. It's not like a black tie, but, you know, dress nice and nicer drinks. Just a little bit more of an upscale type event, not people fighting in a basketball court or at the Armory like we used to do. And
speaking of which, is there going to be an after party at 4th Street?
The after party will be at the Fox Den. So the Fox Den is going to
shout out to Jared Matthews.
Yeah, Jared Matthews, huge supporter of local MMA and of Future of Fighting. He's a partner with Griff's Gym over there, so I know he's super helpful to MMA in the St. Matthews area. And then he's also a big sponsor of Future of Fighting, one of our main sponsors. But the Fox Den will be the weigh-ins will be there and the after party. They have a chicken piccata pasta that they're making just for the fighters so they can, like, recarb up after the meal. It's like a lighter pasta meal, so we're trying to help them out because half the time I see some of them eating burgers and fries or going wherever, like, here, guys, eat something good. And then for everybody else, they're doing $4 Tall Boy Pacificos and Mick Ultras, $4 ground and pound shots, and $5 knockout cocktails at the Fox Den. So make sure you come up, get some really good, cheap drinks.
Yeah. They're also very supportive of Armor Combat as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they'll sometimes play the events on the big screen there.
Yeah.
And they'll put up some posters for us and stuff, so... very supportive of that community as well.
Yeah, he's just he's supportive.
Jared Matthews is awesome. Yeah. Anybody who's involved in the entertainment or restaurant industry in Louisville knows who that guy is. He's like the most well-connected guy in the city.
Super supportive. we picked up the Olay Group also as a partner with Steak and Bourbon, the La Bodeguita, I can't pronounce it, Taco Luchador. And he was excited for us to work with them as well. And, you know, with Jared having Osteria, Lulu on Market, they're all a lot of restaurants, but he was, like, excited for us to work with more people and to grow the network. So he's been a blessing, awesome to work with. And so we love to do the weigh-ins there. Unless we're at 4th Street, we always do the weigh-ins. Like, it's our home base, it's the Fox Den, the after party. And we do our yearly company parties there, and we just party there.
Very cool.
Yep. They got live music every night. So
I waited tables at Equus and Jack's Lounge for like 6 years, and Jared was the owner.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
What was that? Black Rabbit with the Black
Rabbit. Yeah, Black Rabbit, correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Same connected place.
That was a cool little place.
Mm-hmm. Is that the place where you used to do the drugs in the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
One of them.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to having you on the cast. Listen, man, I never know what's going to happen whenever we're doing the commentary. And now that we've got Kelly on, I can't be held responsible for what we say, man.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You want to hear the horror stories, okay, would be Ben Sargent. He was doing commentary, I think, with Hacker.
Yes.
And he started making fun of the military on the live commentary, pissing people off. And I think he got fired for it.
Yeah, it sounds like him. I was going to say, well, luckily, the same 100,000 people that are listening to this are watching our pay-per-view. So they're the only 100,000 people that will hear it. So I think it'll be all right.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, but we are. The one thing we do is post a lot about our sponsors on the pay-per-view and tag them. So hopefully, as long as we talk good about them, that's most important.
Yeah, and I get the pressure of reading those.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, and I can barely read sometimes, man. So, like, I have to really be careful on those reads. But they usually come out all right, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, Garrett, our announcer, very helpful with the reads.
Man, that guy, I tell you what, Garrett has helped me tremendously just with the few little tips that he's given me as a professional to another professional saying, hey, man, listen, here's the places I think you can improve.
Oh, yeah.
And I really took those to heart and tried to apply those as best I can. And I still feel like I'm growing, obviously, as a commentator. There's always room for improvement.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel like Garrett taking his time to sit down and talk with me and give me a few pointers has really, really upped my game, and I'm super appreciative to Garrett. I think he is one of the best in the game. I think we're lucky to have him. I'm lucky to would now call him a friend, and I really appreciate the advice he gave me. So I look forward to working with him every time now, you know.
I should get you to commentate an event with Ben Sargent. You want to do that, Brandon?
Sure. Redneck brawl or something?
That would be fun. No, he probably isn't able to for Hard Rock or any, I wouldn't think, because supposedly he pissed off some pro-military people off. Like, obviously, if you have crazy political opinions, that's not the time, right, in the middle of an MMA event. So that's a good, you know, historical commentary local. I can't think of anything else that's really that crazy. The one guy where the fighter died, that was crazy. But
yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that video is even released. I mean, I don't know. You went through the damn cage. Yeah. Oh, you were going to fight on the card where the guy died.
Yeah.
You were the main event.
Yeah.
So it didn't end up happening.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We were all in the back when that, it was fucked up.
2017.
That one was,
That was in Louisville.
Yeah.
Expo 5, yeah. Expo 5. I think that might be the reason why Expo 5 doesn't do MMA fights anymore.
Yeah.
Did we do any there after that?
I don't now think.
That's the last I remember.
But, man, there was a lot of stuff there towards the end, like the one with the macing and all that, when the cops maced a bunch of people, and then that happened, and, yeah.
It was such a great venue, though, man.
It was. Like, airplane hangar. And
yeah.
I heard they put slot machines right where the stages were, and that was like, you needed those for the VIP area because without that, it was just a hair too small. So I heard they took that area out is why we don't use it. It's not big enough now, but I'm assuming they put those there because they're like, man, fuck these shows.
Yeah.
What other MMA venues in Louisville can you think of?
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, bigger ones, obviously, Freedom Hall, where they just did LFA, Broadbent Arena. We've done a couple of the smaller. We do the African American Heritage Center.
That's right.
Center for African American Heritage, which they do boxing there. I like that. I really like that venue. It could be a little bit bigger, but I really like that venue.
I like the setup of it. It's pretty
cool. I like the setup. There is the one on Plant Side Drive over there, but that one's a little bit older. The
old hotel
the convention
complex.
Center over there. Yeah, it's hard to find a spot that like meets that sweet spot in size. It's like it either holds 10,000 or 500. It's hard to find one that holds like 1,000.
Right.
Or 1,200 or whatever you need, a cage and X amount.
Right. I'm finding the same issue with Armor Combat. What I'm doing is so similar to MMA. It's an MMA cage. It's the same venues.
Literally
it's
the same.
I mean, it's the same exact thing, just with armor. And, I'm running into the same stuff. You know, by the time you get a venue and you throw a cage in there, do I even have enough for cage side seating?
Yeah.
You know, the room is so small. Mm-hmm. But then if you go anything bigger than that, it's going to be three times bigger. And it's going to be
cost.
Way too big.
Thousands
you know?
Of dollars.
Yeah.
Are the rules different in Indiana for that than it is in Kentucky?
Like how the kickboxing is less regulated.
Is it all the same?
Everybody knows the kickboxing in Indiana is less regulated than in Kentucky, right?
Yeah. So, it's pretty much on the same level between Indiana and Kentucky. It's not nearly as regulated.
I just wonder if that's the reason you went with Indiana or if it's just the venue. Venue's cool.
It just happened
cool
to be the
same place
that I was working with.
Chance has used.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the venue. I wish it was here in Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, it was real elegant. It's very cool. We got a big chandelier in the middle and everything, you know, and then you juxtapose that with, like, you know, violence and fighting with a cage and stuff. But
heavy metal.
Yeah.
Area 502 MMA is the gym you're the head coach at and the owner of. So, of course, your gym is your everything for Phil Perkins really is kind of Louisville centric.
Yeah.
You guys don't have plans about of doing Future of Fighting outside of Louisville, do you?
Not Future of Fighting, we don't. But we got some stuff coming up where we might be venturing out a little bit. We will say that. So,
you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. We have looked up there, looked some other places. But yeah.
Cool.
That's all I can say at this point. But yeah.
I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Before we start the process of wrapping things up, do you guys have any last, I don't know, sponsors or anybody you haven't mentioned?
I don't have a list of sponsors, but just thank you to everybody that sponsored Future Fighting 9. There's a whole list of them. I mentioned a few of them, but I don't want to start going down the list because I'll forget one or two. But all of our sponsors, I appreciate everybody. And, come out to the gym and train. We really have built something there to get fighters to the next level. And we got a hell of a team between myself, Coach Aaron Shekels in the boxing, Blake O'Neill with, you know, helps with the MMA and the wrestling, but really now he's the strength and conditioning guy. And, our kickboxing coaches. And then outside the gym, we've got a really good team of recovery, people helping with recovery, PTs, and just really have built the whole system to get people to the next level. So our doors are open. We're here to work with other people. Hopefully people come out, train with me, train with us. Kind of like we talked about earlier, like people can just come and train. You can bring your coach. You know, this isn't a leave your gym type of thing. We're all here. We should be able to all train together and all grow together. So we've built this here for everybody. I hope some people come by and train with me at Area 502, train with us, and try to take advantage of our resources in the right way. And see everybody December 6th, Future Fighting 9.
Okay. And what's next for Armor Combat, Brandon?
Right now I don't have anything. We just finished up Metal Armored Fighting 3, we're looking to get through the holidays and let everything kind of calm down and get through to 2026 and see what our schedule looks like. So if you're interested in following along, you can check out the Louisville Royals Steel Fighting Team on Facebook. We post everything there. And if you ever want to come out and fight in armor, Phil, you're about my size, so we can put you in my shit.
Man. Ready? I thought you said we were going to square up.
Wait. I'm not going to accept that we're about your size because he said he's 145 and you wouldn't answer the question.
It's close enough.
Close enough. You're close to 145. Like, you about 145?
Pro. I'm Amy, man. That's not the same. I'm green. I'm green in this. Yeah.
You're about my size too.
Yeah. I don't want to fight you with a fucking axe or anything.
I say, I think,
man, you would probably.
I'd fuck you up.
Yeah. That's crazy. What would we be? We'd have like a actual axe and stuff, right? And you just.
You want to try it?
No, thanks. Yeah. I don't think. Phil, do you want to?
I mean, I don't know.
You should definitely try it.
I don't know.
It's a good time.
I know Kelly ain't going to try it.
No, he's a
person. It sounds like I would end up getting hit in the head.
You would, for sure.
Yeah. I don't want to get hit in the head with an axe. Call me uptight. I'd prefer not to, all things being equal. I mean, if I get hit in the head with an axe, I'll try to, you know, make the best of it.
Yeah.
But if I can avoid that, might as well.
I thought you were going to say I'd try to block it. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, I don't see. Yeah, I know. That sounds
just make
scary.
Make the best of it.
Yeah. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate so Brandon Bishop, thank you very much. Phil Perkins, thank you.
Sure.
Want to say thank you to everyone for tuning in. Of course, we will have an episode of the Kelly Patrick Show out soon. Thank you very much.